obviously the Topgolf acquisition in the last couple of years has been massive for Callaway. I mean, it's going to take Callaway to probably plus $5 billion turnover for this year. Happy to be giving one away for you guys on the show this week.
Good morning, everybody. Morning, Rian. Morning, Arthi.
Morning, Albert.
Welcome to a really exciting another OEM, big, big, big brand Callaway, or Topgolf Callaway brand. So that's what you refer to yourself now as.
That's it. Right? 100%. Yeah, that's the new name that merged earlier in this year for us. Yeah.
If you go to all the old school people in Pretoria, they go Galloway.
Galloway. I mean, a great start there.
Galloway.
Isn't it amazing how many people still says Galloway instead of Callaway? But we've got Rian Spannenberg with us this morning. What an exciting episode for us, and what a privilege, because just to get everybody very excited. I mean, look at this bag here that we've got here this morning. Rian, quickly give us a brief on what this bag is.
Yeah, so obviously this week being the open week, the final major of the year, it's quite an exciting time for us. The team out in Liverpool, and you can see with the design on the bag, there's some music in the bag with a little bit of the Beatles. Some really funky colors, and I think we're just all excited for the final final major of the year, which is, unfortunately, there's another 6 months till we get to watch the Masters. So it's always a bittersweet week for us to have the Open this early in the year, and then unfortunately the majors are done. But yeah, I think a great bag this week, and with being at Royal Liverpool, I think it'll get a few of the football fans excited. But all in all, I think it's a great bag, and happy to be giving one away for you guys on the show this week.
Well, honestly, that's probably, and before we even get into it, I personally want to stop the giveaway and just take the bag for myself. Arthur, I don't know how you feel.
Yeah, I know, the bag's unreal, eh? And that bag is just super high demand, because there's only, I think, 8 or 10 in the country.
Yeah, 10.
So people are going to have to...
You can't purchase it.
No, unfortunately, this year the bags are for giveaways, and I mean, we've done a few other things with them and used them at golf days and things like that, but for the first year, we are not allowed to actually sell these golf bags, so it's a really limited edition golf bag as a giveaway.
Can I say 1 out of 10 in Africa?
That'll probably be 90% correct. I don't think any other countries would have access to this bag.
So just for everyone on the show knowing how to win the bag, so we're going to get requests.
Yep.
And we're going to do a little cage, and the guys can fist fight for the bag.
Is Cameron and Jukas joining?
Yeah, maybe. If you can get past them, you get the bag.
I think your bag's safe this weekend.
I think the bag is pretty safe for us. But, you know, just to take a step back, so Rian Spannenberg, he's the brand director for Callaway Golf. He's also a PGA Golf professional. You are a qualified club fitter and builder. You also are a Sunshine and European Tour fitter, which I'm assuming also a little bit on the Challenge Tour. And we have the privilege to have you here this morning.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just coming from background where I started in the golf industry about 23 years ago. I started my apprenticeship in Brakpan at Royal Oak Country Club. I decided to go with the PGA way. And then I was very fortunate to meet a few real good people that's helped me along my path in the last 23 years. I got into custom fitting, which was quite a passion for me, which I didn't really ever understand as a youngster. But as soon as I started working with numbers and custom fitting, I mean, Arthur knows the custom fitting side of things is... Unfortunately, I think once you get into that side of the golf business, you're never going to get out of it. Mm. And then I worked for a couple of golf brands along the way. And then I started with Callaway Golf in 2017. And then last year, the opportunity became available for me to take over as brand manager for Callaway Golf in South Africa. And it's been one hell of a ride. Post-COVID, I think everybody has seen what the golf industry has done post-COVID, and it's been fantastic. And we've been very blessed that our sport has taken off the way it has.
Yeah, and also the brand. I mean, like you said, you know, you said to me earlier off-site or off-record, well, before we started, I mean, I don't know why I stumbled there three times, that, you know, the Callaway has just been exceptional in brand growth in the last 3 years, and that roller coaster is still continuing for you. And what an incredible testament to the brand that you represent.
Yeah, I think, again, we've been fortunate with some of the acquisitions made by Chip Brewer in the US. I mean, I was fortunate enough to meet Chip for probably about 11 years ago, and he was actually with Adams Golf. Phenomenal human being, and the vision that he's got just to get acquisitions, try things with new brands. Obviously, the Topgolf acquisition in the last couple of years have been massive for Callaway. I mean, it's going to take Callaway to probably plus $5 billion turnover for this year. But Topgolf, and the nice thing with Topgolf is it's accessible to anybody. It's all over the world. So no matter if you're in Dubai, if you're in the US, if you're in China, there's a venue somewhere in those areas. And if you look at the golfers that actually go to Topgolf, is not, as we would say, your typical golfer. But the benefit that we've seen from new people joining the game after actually going to Topgolf, those numbers are staggering. And I think that's, for all of us in the golf industry, is that's what we want. If we can get new people into the game, but also keep new people in the game. You don't want them to have a good time for 3 or 4 months and then give up the game. We want to try and engage with those people and keep them coming back, because at the end of the days, those are the people that become our customers, and that's what we live for.
Mm-hmm. So, Rian, I mean, I know, so it's Travis Matthew, which is on the clothing side.
Yeah.
You know, if you just look at it from a holistic perspective, so you've got Topgolf, Callaway brands right at the top. You've got Travis Matthew. You've got, obviously, Callaway Golf. You've got OGO. How do you pronounce
OGO,
it? OGO,
yeah.
Which is your bags and other accessories, backpacks and apparel.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Odyssey Putters.
Correct.
And I don't always know if people understand, but Callaway Golf ultimately owns Odyssey.
Yeah.
And that acquisition obviously makes sense from our perspective. But cheekily, can I ask the following question just on the Topgolf facility? Any plans for Africa?
We've been in discussions, and we're definitely looking at something like that for Africa. I think the challenge is to find the venue.
You need a lot of outdoor space as well.
You need a lot of outdoor space. Although, I mean, if you look at, and I'm talking about the one in Dubai, it's not the biggest space. It's got 96 bays, so yeah. There's a lot of space in the building, but it's in three tiers. And then they've netted it in. So, yeah, I mean, you don't need all the space in the world. You can actually, but I mean, for me, thinking about South Africa, you would probably have to look at a venue like somewhere in Johannesburg or even Cape Town.
Yeah.
I think Cape Town would be an ideal venue for 9 months of the year when it's not winter and raining. But I mean, if you imagine Table Mountain as a backdrop, with, I mean, it's
can't get
it's,
better than that.
I mean, yeah, that's going to be that's going to be a. You never know. Maybe a top golf on the top of Table Mountain
might
would be
fun. The ninth or tenth wonder of the world.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and then, I mean, just going on the other brands, is actually one that you left out is Jack Wolfskin.
Oh, I didn't know.
Which is a brand owned by Callaway as well. It's more into the outdoor wear. It's a massive brand in the UK. It's more of I would say, if you're into hiking and things like that, they make shoes, they make outerwear for really extreme cold conditions. It's probably not a brand we're going to ever see in South Africa. I don't think we have the conditions to justify that. But then getting back on Travis Matthew, we are going to be launching Travis Matthew in South Africa with a little bit of luck September, October this year.
Okay.
And we will really do our best with that brand. And it's also, if you look at that brand with the way they do in the US, it's grown so massively because it's a lifestyle brand, but it's also a golf brand. So you could actually play golf in the shirt, and as everybody at the office always jokes with me, is you can go and have a braai afterwards in the same shirt and nobody would know. I think there's some really exciting times for us with Travis Matthew as a brand in the next couple of months.
But it's amazing that you sit here, and if I just look at it, that, you know, Callaway is, if I just look at how they've done the acquisitions, you know, they obviously, their brand is incredible. That's why the rebrand happened. But it's also incredible to me that they've kept the brands that they've bought over, because they obviously have focused in that particular market, and they've also built up a brand and a legacy.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's no need to change any of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the last 7-8 years, the brand's really grown from strength to strength. I mean, we had some, I don't want to call it dodgy, but let me say, we didn't have the strongest product for a couple of years post 2012, 2013. And I think the big shift that we saw in the golf industry was 2017 with the launch of Epic, when we brought in Jailbreak, and then obviously the year after that there was artificial intelligence, and that's been massive for us, the drive with, and we can now actually make product that we still don't understand why it's coming out at this product. But I mean, if you look at Paradigm this year for us, and again, we've been so fortunate with this product with having 29 wins on global tours halfway through the year.
And a major on it.
Major on it with Jon Rahm in the Masters, and hopefully another major this week would really cap off an unbelievable year for us. But I mean, we've just been, we've been so fortunate with turning out good product every year. I mean, unfortunately in South Africa for us, the exchange rate hampers golf sales during some stages of the year. But hopefully towards the back end of the year, there'll be a bit of a recovery in the dollar, and things will get back to normal. And but yeah, I mean, like I say, it's, we've been surprised at how good the product has been selling. And it's always very price sensitive, but I think the consumers now understand that you are actually paying for a quality product, and it's across all brands. I mean, nobody out there makes bad product anymore, and it's so competitive in the golf industry.
But Rian, just to make it, and I want to bring you in here, Arthur, on the Callaway side, and you practically that fit it on a daily basis. And we spoke earlier, you know, at Fancourt, you know, Callaway's doing really well for you as a brand. But just to simplify a little bit, so Jailbreak technology, AI technology, and artificial intelligence that you've brought in to help you develop these products. I was fortunate enough that you invited me to the launch at Woodmead. I was at the launch at the PGA show this year, about 2 or 3 weeks before that. So I was very fortunate to see both. But you look at the videos that you guys have put together, you know, you even disassembled the heads. So
you could put them together.
You can put them together, and it really gave you some beautiful insight into the technology. But practically, how do you go from Jailbreak and AI technology into a practical, that that club still fits the, or works for the everyday golfer, that maybe doesn't always understand all these terminologies that we use?
Well, I think again with that is, and talking on the fitting side of things, I think the biggest thing for us is the variety of options that's available. So, I mean, if you look at this year, just in Paradigm, there's three driver head options. And again, the triple diamond is what they would call your better players product. But we've seen 25 plus handicap players that actually hits that product better than the Paradigm X, which is for your game improvement. So I always hate it when they come out to say this is it's for this handicap, that, and I mean, different golfers, I mean, every golfer out there, and Arthur will know, swings are differently. What works for me is not going to work for you. It's not going to work for Arthur. So you've really got the option when we, I mean, when we look at our fitting packs, just in drivers, there's 7 driver options, and there's 18 shaft options available. And you can really mix and match and really dial in every player for what they want. And I think that's where the golf industry, I mean, if I look back at 15, 20 years ago when we used to start custom fitting, you used to go around with a bag with probably, well, 2 bags with 40 drivers in them because they weren't interchangeable. So you had to have every loft with every flex with every shaft. It was an absolute nightmare. Nowadays we go with a little case, it's got 7 driver heads and a bundle of shafts, and you can fit all the permutations that's available. So I think with golf manufacturers has made fitting a lot easier, and so many options in shafts. And I mean, if you look at the different steel options, I mean that's an endless, I mean, that you could have 100 shaft options to choose from in irons, and you can really custom make them. Obviously the manufacturers do look at what sells best for them through a year. These guys do extensive testing and things. So I think the big thing for us is just to make the fitting experience a little bit easier for the consumer, because you also don't want the guy standing there for 2 hours and eating 200 golf balls, because you don't normally do that in a day. So the quicker you can get to the solution or what works better than what they currently have. And I mean, we've all seen it where when we do fittings, there's always one or two guys that's out there that's got a club that's 4 or 5 years old, and you actually can't get them to improve. But I think it's also the great thing about golf is to being honest and upfront with that person to say, listen, whatever you got or whatever you've bought is actually great for you. Stick with your equipment. So I mean, I think it makes everybody's life easier with having all these options available. And then if you look at the putting side of things, obviously with Odyssey in our range, There's so many models and grip options and weight options and lengths. Obviously, the Stroke Lab shaft that we've now patented has been massive for us, because you see them on tour. You see them every week. I mean, we've had some great success in the last couple of months with that jailbreak putter that Ricky Fowler has been using. Yes. And
Jailbird.
And unfortunately, those aren't available. They did a limited run in the US. I mean, Arthur's phoned me about 20 times.
I eventually, when Rion couldn't help me, but he's caught in a rock and a hard place. Not that he didn't want to help me, but I started building my own putters. Yeah. You know, pulling it apart,
yeah,
and rebuilding it. Obviously, not necessarily just the Jailbirds, yeah, but any other mallet putter would work. Mm-hmm. And was great for putter sales after what he did, which is awesome. And then going into the fitting side of what Rian was saying, and he did make a valid point from 2012 to 2017 and stuff like that. Everything is just getting so much more easier to fit. You know, talking about the triple diamond as well, the nice thing about what all the manufacturers are doing, plus Callaway, is there's interchangeability of the head. So like on the triple diamond, you can literally remove the weights. So generally with the triple diamond, it's a lower spinning head, so the heavy weight's in the front, which drops the spin rate. You can move the weight backwards. So now you can increase the sweet spot, still quite a lower spinning driver head, and it works really good for any other golfer. So you've almost made the driver easier to hit, and you've got the lower spinning head available as well, which is great. So these guys make our job so much more easier than in the past, because of how they're designing the heads, how you can interchangeable with the shafts and the heads and all of that. So it's a really, really good space to be in right now, because you should be able to get fit anywhere for the right product.
Yeah.
And I think a big thing as well is, like you say with that, is if you look at a couple of years ago, the driver that the players on tour used to play was never an option to actually have out as a option to buy. I mean, we've introduced the triple diamond for the last couple of years, and as we've gone through the models and getting to Paradigm, it was always quite a tough driver to hit. And this year with Paradigm, it's just been phenomenal. But now we actually have the opportunity to have the average consumer out there actually hit the driver at exactly the same setup as John Rahm's using. So again,
that's a big game changer.
It's a huge game changer.
It's a huge game changer, because I know that before that there was only really one OEM that offered that. So it's fantastic to know now that what I see on tour, I can ultimately go and get as a consumer.
Yeah, there's always going to be one or two things, and we get these calls, and especially with putters when you see something, or they do a Toulon design in a gold plated. I mean, those are 95% tour only.
Yeah.
They do a small batch run in the US occasionally, but I mean, these things come at a premium. So some things are tour only, unfortunate. Yeah. But what I've also seen in the last 20 years is when something is tour only and it really takes off, you'll probably see that product in the next year's product cycle.
Gotcha.
They'll introduce it somewhere because the demand is there for that product. And I think we're very fortunate that we can now almost have the exact bag that any player on tour has.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's what people like to see. And I mean, a lot of us aspire to be better golfers, and you want to play what is best out there. I mean, it might not be best for you, but sometimes it looks cool to walk around with a set of blades in your bag. I mean, it's luckily those days for me are few and far between. I've realized that. I've realized that all the help that you can get out there is what you need, and I mean, technology is there, so embrace it. Don't try and fight it. It is there to help you. So
I have a quick technical question that I can't find the answers to, and obviously with you working,
throw me under the bus.
I'm going to throw you. No. It's actually a valid question, and I think it's a valid question for Callaway as well. And you might know the answer to it. Do you know why John Rahm doesn't use Stroke Lab, the shaft? Because he's, number one, really a good putter.
Mm-hmm.
He's also gone for a very different design head to the normal guys on tour.
Yeah.
So he's obviously different, so I get that. But obviously there needs to be, there's a feel aspect or a preference. I'm not saying that Stroke Lab's wrong. I'm just curious myself because I don't know the answer to why he's not using Stroke Lab.
Yeah, so if you look at, obviously John's setup is, he uses the Rossi putter with no markings on it. So he doesn't do lines, dots, nothing. It's a completely blank canvas on the head. The reason why he's, I mean, he did test the stroke lab shaft, and the reason why he hasn't stuck with it, the stroke lab shaft, is because he's quite an aggressive putter. He likes the feel of almost ramming the ball into the hole.
It's almost like hitting it.
Yeah. He prefers, he's more of a hitter than a stroker of the golf ball. And he just felt that the feedback from the stroke lab shaft was too soft for him. He couldn't get that feel, and that's the reason why he stuck with the steel shaft. I mean, he's done extensive testing. I mean, they've changed the stroke lab shaft this year a little bit, where you'll see that the steel part's actually a slightly longer piece of steel that makes it a firmer feel. But I mean, if you look on tour, I would say, looking at the PGA and the European Tour, out of, let's say, 100 players, there's probably going to be five that's not into the stroke lab shafts. Stroke lab technology is really there to help enhance the stroke, and it really does give you a feel. And I think, I mean, for us in the golf industry, and I say this for everybody that I do putter fittings with, feel is something that you can't measure.
No.
It's the only thing in golf that you can't measure is feel, because something that'll feel soft to me might feel hard to you.
Yeah.
So feel is a big part of that. But getting back to that, is because he likes to be a little bit firmer and more aggressive on his putts, he just feels that the steel shaft gives him better feedback on what he wants to feel.
And sticking to the putters, I see the Callaway this year went to the OG. So what I mean by the OG is their white hot face. And me personally, it's their best face they've ever produced, to be honest, from a field.
I think that, I mean, the introduction of, I mean, we've tried with a few different options in the last couple of years and different variations of the OG feel. I mean, that original feel and the firmness of that insert is feedback again from tour. I mean, the guys are out there week in and week out testing with tour players, and that really is what the feedback is from tour players, that some of the previous inserts were too soft. And also, if you look with golf balls with urethane covers and those things nowadays, to get that perfect combination, I mean, it's actually a very interesting story. Many years ago, I was fortunate to spend some time with a real good golfer, and we were doing some golf ball testing and looking around on the range for this guy, and we found him on the putting green hitting putts of 6 inches. We said to him, what is that about? He says, if the ball sounds good off the putter for me, I can make it work all the way back.
Oh, my word.
When we fit the average player, everybody, when you get to a fitting, the first thing they want to do is, let's bomb a driver.
Yeah.
How far can I hit the driver? And that's, I think, the mindset of these professional golfers are so different to the average consumer out there, where they actually start at the green and work their way back. Because, like this guy said to us, is if he loses 5 meters off the tee, the area where he makes his money is from 100 in. And that's where the golf ball fitting is such an important side of things, because there's no perfect golf ball out there. I think everybody believes we make perfect golf balls, but you are going to sacrifice something somewhere in the game. So if you like a softer feel and more spin around the greens, you might lose a few meters at the back end off the driver. But it really is a personal preference, and again, it comes back to feel that we can't measure.
Rian, it's amazing that you say that, because we've spoken about that. It's a mind shift, and especially that people think the driver is the first thing. And I'm quoting John Rahm now, where he said, in the old days, it was about getting better feel on the irons. And nowadays, he has better feel on the driver, meaning that it's more forgiving on the driver than it is even on irons. And is that a shift that you guys specifically work towards?
Well, that's, I mean, I think every year we try and bring out a product that's going to be better than the previous year product. I think the years of manufacturers, and it's not just Callaway, I think it's across the board, is the manufacturers are reluctant to bring out a product if it doesn't improve on the previous product. So for us this year, obviously with the 360 carbon chassis and the driver, the softness of the face, and we've had that where a lot of players, the feedback that we get is when they hit a shot, and I mean, these guys are so good that immediately when they make impact, they know if it's a good or a bad shot.
Yeah.
But a lot of times the guys say it feels like it's a bad shot, and when they look up, it's still in their window.
Yeah.
And that's what we do when we fit these tour players, is they've got a window where they want to see the golf ball in. As long as you can give them a driver that gets into that position, when they look up and it feels like they've missed it and it's still in the window, you're 90% there. And I mean, this year has been the easiest transition for us, for players going in from Rogue last year into Paradigm. Previous years, we do struggle for the first couple of months because guys are so used to their driver after a season. But this year, the transition for us was real, real easy. I mean, we did some at the Stone City event earlier in the year. And it's in Francis where the guys literally walked up to the range. We showed them the new head, pulled the old shaft from the old head, the current shaft in, new head, and the guys were gaming in that same week. So that for us is just saying that if the guys are that confident in the product is better to change in this, the week of an event is phenomenal for us.
Even from our side at TrueFit, the Paradigm is such a reliable and easy sale because it works, you know. And it's, for me, it's important to make sure a customer gets the right driver.
Yeah.
And that transition from last year's driver to this year's driver has just been huge.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a good driver. And Callaway, I promise you, is not paying me to say this.
Yeah.
It's literally, for me, my customers are important and they need to have the right product at the end of the day. And it's been such a good shift, in the driver department, that it's just unbelievable. It's really, really a good driver. And I've had many discussions with Rian in the past, and you know, some drivers just don't work for some customers. Like, I can go into other brands a TaylorMade as well, and sometimes they don't get it right because it's either too low spinning for the average golfer, and we don't need to go into too much detail with that. But the Paradigm is really, really good. Just from a design setup and what you call it, an all-round driver. Yeah.
But it's, so sometimes what we see in OEMs and clubs, and I think that we speak about it often, is the marketing buzz sometimes doesn't deliver on the actual driver.
Exactly. I mean,
and what I feel with Callaway this year, and especially with the Paradigm launch, the hype translated into a good club.
Oh, definitely.
Because we've seen before, it's marketing. It feels like they focus more on the marketing aspect of it, of the actual driver, that you have to hype it more because you almost have to force people to go and change it. And also, every now and again, a OEM brings something through that forces you to upgrade. And I feel that this year was that year for Callaway.
It was just so good.
The hype matched the equipment.
100%. And I mean, listen, everyone's got businesses to run and stuff like that and strategy, but like the Paradigm, just even with the new irons, I mean, with their forged plating, from a field perspective, it's really, really good. And I think Callaway is trending in the right direction. They've always trended on the up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, again, as like you say, as post 2012, 2013, we've really seen, I mean, our R&D team in the US have been phenomenal with turning out unbelievable product. And it's, again, I mean, it's, and then that's another thing that comes up a lot in conversations with people saying, but why do you change models every year? It's, and maybe it's a great time to explain that in 2 seconds if I can, but so Callaway runs with two families of product. It's normally the Apex family, which is our better players forged type of product, and then the following year, which is Paradigm for this year. But the cycle is actually a two-year cycle. But what we do is we don't run them concurrently next to each other. We actually space them. So there is a new product every year, but it's a different family of product. So as much as we want everybody to buy a new driver every year, we also understand that that's not always possible. But so whatever driver will be launched in February next year will basically be a replacement of the Rogue that is currently still in a second year life cycle, and then Paradigm's replacement will only be in 2025. So just for the consumers to understand that it is actually a 2 year cycle. I know it feels like there's a new driver it doesn't feel like it, there is a new driver every year, but it is just the way that we run the families in the Callaway range of product.
And also on the Apex range, you guys run a full 2 year cycle.
Well, Apex this year is actually going to be 2 years and 6 months because we were supposed to have a launch in February this year with Apex, and I think with Paradigm just being so phenomenal, they've actually pushed that back, and we are 2 months away from Apex launch, which is quite exciting. I mean, I'm sure everybody's seen some pictures on social media and those things of the new irons. They do look phenomenal. And I think for the better players and the forged type of golfer out there that likes the forged irons, the new Apex Low range is going to be something to look forward to for us towards the back end of this year.
You know, Rian, I know that we speak in an interview style, and like I said to Rian, nowhere in Saturday, nowhere you'll go online right now and you will find the Callaway story. You know, Rian has one interview in the lockdown period, but they don't really dive into any of that. But yeah, when you are playing with the Callaway Club, I mean, it's just amazing that if you're a big fan of it, it's a really good time to listen to Rian here on this, and especially Arthur from a fitting perspective.
Well, just so you know, Rian, I probably can't outspeak Rian on the fitting and building perspective because he's got many years. I'll give him a run for his money because he's getting old now.
That's not nice of you. That's a joke. What a guy. You know,
he's speaking from a Callaway. You're speaking from an independent.
No, but I'm just giving him some now on the show because I can.
And I might as well just mention that at the moment on your fan court site at the moment, you were saying about 80% of your sales there is Callaway.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, that's
the product is really, really good.
But it just shows you that everything we're saying here has got credibility to it. Rian, I just want to ask you a few questions, if you don't mind. I think, firstly, people don't realize you sponsor Christian Besaidenhout, Dylan Fratelli, Brandon Grace,
Eric Van Rooyen.
And Sean Norris. Yeah, we've had Sean Norris and Eric Van Rooyen and Dylan Fratelli on the show.
But so shout out to Brandon.
Please yeah, get shout a Brandon out to Brandon. Grace. Brandon, you need to come and say there.
And the good collaboration.
There we go. I'm so happy you mentioned that. It was a little bit down the. But you've also got the good collaboration. Collaboration. So this is even for South Africa. We're very privileged to sit here this morning because we are big fans of good. Mm. Massive fans. Yeah. And that was single-handedly one of the biggest deals or brand deals this year signed in golf.
Yeah.
So congratulations on that. But it's also such an incredible young crowd that you brought into the brand. And if I look at the Travis Matthew, it's also a young, you know, sort of call it up and coming
modern
brand. So really exciting to be part of Callaway, and I'm just getting more excited for you to sit here this morning. But so where does Callaway position itself in South Africa? What is your position for your perspective for Callaway?
Well, I think the big thing for us, and again, I mean, if you look at all those phenomenal tour players that you've mentioned now, and yes, they get out on world tours, but there's so many good youngsters out on the Sunshine Tour that we try and support as much as we can. There's been a massive directive from Callaway in the US, again, under the guidance of Chip Roer, and it'll be something that we're rolling out now. I was actually down in Cape Town in the last couple of days meeting with some top amateur golfers, and we're going to really shift our focus towards younger golfers.
Yeah.
And we want to try and make it all-inclusive for all types of golfers, male, female. And the big thing for us is to identify talent young enough. And, I mean, we've got a youngster down in George, funny enough. His father's an ex-tour player, Vaughn Groenewald. His youngster, Jordan, is a 13-year-old kid. He's on his way to the U.S. to the Futures Championships in San Diego. And we've looked after him for the last year. And it's amazing to see the talent in this country, firstly. I mean, I saw a kid on Friday. I'll tell you guys the name after the show, and we'll put a little wager on this. But this kid is going to win a major within the next 5 years. I've not seen a young kid with this much talent. He's 17 years old.
Okay, sure.
I stood there, and I actually, afterwards, I said to his coach that the last time I saw a youngster with that much talent, and I've been very fortunate in all the years of fitting, dealing with a lot of these youngsters through different brands that I worked for, but the Fratellis, the Brandon Graces, the Christian Besaidenhouts. I mean, we turn our talent. I mean, if you look at just won the British amateur again, Christo Lambrecht, last year. We had Ulrich won it last year. Yeah. And everybody always seems to forget about South Africa until we rock up at these big events.
Yeah.
And these amateur players, I mean, if you look at how many youngsters in South Africa are heading over to the US in the next couple of years.
Especially the last 4, 5, 6 months.
It is frightening to see all these good golfers that we're producing week in and week. And I mean, you look at these scores. I mean, there's another youngster down from Cape Town, Jack Buchanan, that made 7 under last week at St. Francis, or 5 under and won by 7 shots. Conditions was horrendous.
I mean, look at Daniel Bennett. Sorry to interrupt. I mean, at Peakenwood. Was Mark 34 under?
Yeah, I mean, it was
ridiculous. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, but I mean, there's so many good youngsters. I mean, you look at Christian Maas, that's in the US now. I mean,
he's also going to be, mark my words, he's he's fit, me personally, like, I fitted him when he was a kid. And he's also one of those look out for me type of people, because I know he hasn't, like, he's played the British Am 2 years in a row, didn't really do anything, but I promise you he's figuring it out very quickly, and he's incredible.
Now that we've got, and again, for us obviously, is if we can somehow get involved and support these youngsters from a young age, and that's where things are excited for me, because we've always helped tour players where we can on the Sunshine Tour, and players that's coming through the ranks. But to now actually have a directive to actually go out and actively look for junior golfers. I think golf in South Africa is in such a good place. Mm. And I mean, the guys at Golf RSA is doing unbelievable. I actually had a chat to the guys in the US last week, and they saw the team when they were over at the British Amateur, and they said, it was such a compliment for South Africa on how good the South African team firstly looked when they arrived, how well they were prepared. I mean, they've got the physios, they've got the swing coaches,
Gavin
they've got Gavin. I mean, Gavin's doing a phenomenal job. I mean, everybody at Golf RSA that is bringing all these, and I think a big thank you obviously to Mr. Johan Rupert for having the initiative and seeing the talent. I mean he comes back from the days when Ernie was a youngster, Retief, I suppose Louis is still a youngster, but they're not as young as we'd like them to be. But I think it's exciting for us to see this new crop of young golfers coming through in South Africa, and where they're going to take it for us in the next couple of years. It's going to be something special to be part of. So yeah, we're quite excited that we can now actually start looking after younger golfers, and really supporting them, because I think the game is just becoming more professional at an earlier age. I mean, if you look at some of these kids and what they're producing, it's...
I mean, look at Casey.
They're peaking.
Casey winning yesterday in Austria. Yeah.
This weekend again.
He's almost a teenager, man. Mm? Yeah. He's still a kid.
Yeah.
And he's doing great things, and with respect. I mean, he's unbelievable.
Well, I mean, you look through this year on the Challenge Tour, and it's again where the Sunshine Tour has done an unbelievable job as... having the merger with the Challenge Tour to have those co-signing to events, we're probably going to end up having 5 or 6 Sunshine Tour players that'll get their cards through the Challenge Tour this year, because they've won.
One a year.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be 1 or 2 events a year. Now there's 6 events in South Africa, but when the events are finished and the guys play well in South Africa, now they get into events in Europe, and the guys can almost have a full season. And it's great for the last 2 months when the Sunshine Tour goes on the winter break for those guys. I mean, again, Casey winning yesterday, it's phenomenal. I mean, he's unbelievable talent. I mean, it's again another youngster from the East Rand. So it's not all bad out on the East Rand, and people think it's a dodgy area. But I mean, we do produce some good golfers out on the East Rand. So, I mean, I'm just excited for golf in general in South Africa and where we're heading. I mean, saw yesterday, I think Nicole Garcia was 3rd in the ladies event. And I mean, she's played well in the team event. Cassandra Hall's been doing well.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just producing unbelievable golfers.
You know what's exciting for me? Sorry to interrupt.
No, you're not interrupting.
And if you had to go back, I need to work out my age, 20 years. For an amateur golfer, even if you were a world beater, to get a sponsorship was like 1 in 1,000, 10,000.
It's like lotto.
It was impossible. Yeah. Now that what Rian was just saying, it's so exciting for golf that they get the opportunity to get sponsored with good companies. I think it's a great thing that they need to look after and cherish these kids from a young age, and because that's going to help the fathers and the parents
and the next generation golfers to come into the game,
because golf clubs are expensive. You might miss 10 talents because I can't give my kid the best tools, but he's amazing, you know. So it just shows you how exciting golf, the trend and the direction golf is going in South Africa, and I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, for me, it's the growth of golf that's happening now. You know, growth of golf was not going to come from Ernie Els. You hear what I'm saying? It's that generation. It needed to be a Casey, an Ulrich Potgieter, a Christian Maas. And also, like you say, Cassandra Hall, you know, and Nicole Garcia. And also, Let Go Golf, you know, just phenomenal. The branding, the interaction, the golf channels. Also, the youngsters take it to YouTube, you know.
Human
YouTube,
golf show.
Correct. Take it to YouTube. YouTube translates into younger golfers. I mean, Mornay from Mr. Variety that sits here, you know, he falls in that category of youngness. But it it's definitely what we all need. And just to on the tour section there a little bit. So LIV Golf, massive merger. I mean, I cannot believe we're sitting now in a place where they've had to go to what do they call it in the States? They have to go and explain themselves.
In front of the Senate or something. In front of the Senate. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's where we are now. But what's your position on LIV Golf and what's happened?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the big thing, obviously, for me is, again, I think with the merger that's going to happen or however it might pan out, as long as we're bringing new golfers to the game,
correct,
I'm all for anything like that. Yeah, there's been things said, and I think it some valid, some not valid points, but I think, for me, if we can get to a situation where the real good golfers in the world are not missing out on majors and things of that because they've chosen a way. I mean, life's all about choices. So yeah, we make some good ones, we make some bad ones. But the exciting thing for me is I think there's another avenue. And hopefully it turns into a world tour. I know this has been in talks for the last 10, 15 years. Somebody was looking at doing a world tour. And, I mean, imagine having 10 events in South Africa in a year where we can go and watch the top golfers in the world. I mean, why wouldn't we want to go and see a Dustin Johnson and a Phil Mickelson and all of them? All of them competing together. I mean,
hypothetically, in a perfect world, a LIV Tour event at Sun City, replacing the Million Dollar. Million Dollar's got history and stuff like that, a style or format.
Mm.
And you're watching Dustin Johnson and all those amazing golfers coming to South Africa. Perfect
Especially
venue.
The team aspect.
Team aspect, no. perfect
yeah.
venue,
yeah.
perfect location.
Because the stingers are cool online.
Just so to Greg Norman, just make sure, you know, there's African places you can come to as well.
It depends on what you believe in. The readings looks like Greg Norman is being pushed out faster than, you know. But the stingers online, you know, when Louis and them do their thing and Brandon and them, it's so exciting to watch. It's funny. They do these challenges. They gave away a hat now recently for all sorts of challenges that you do. And it's just between all the teams, that's sort of the one to follow.
Yeah. I mean, and the nice thing for us...
It's
some different stuff that we're not used to, and it's...
But it also breaks down that whole, call it stuck-up professional sense, and it just breaks it down to, this is what you and your mates would do. Yeah. Do a chipping round before the time, you know, a competition. They're doing exactly what normal amateurs do, but just in a professional setting.
And I think the nice thing for that is, again, and it's like, I'll keep on saying it, is if we can introduce new people to the game, I'm all for anything bringing... I mean, I think it's a win for all of us. I mean, it's, again, sitting on your show. I mean, 10 years ago, I don't think any of us knew how to speak in front of a microphone unless you were doing a prize.
6 months for me.
Prize giving at a golf course and, I mean, or giving away a golf bag at a golf day or something like that. So I think there's so much opportunity and so much enthusiasm in golf. And, I mean, I see it week in and week out. Yes, we're in the middle of winter, and it's not great to play at the moment. But when you go out, and I mean, we visit with our retailers quite often. There's a definite excitement about golf, which I haven't seen in many, many years. And for me, that is the exciting part of things, is to actually have people talking about golf. I mean, what more can we ask for? People are talking and engaging with the game that we all love, and I certainly wouldn't be sitting here if it wasn't for the game of golf, because, I mean, somebody asked me the other day, what else would you do if you weren't in the golf industry? I honestly don't know, because I haven't thought about doing anything else other than golf. It's probably too much of a passion for me at some times, but it's just such a great game. And, again, like you say, with the Stingers, I've been fortunate to work quite closely with three of the four players on that team. Yes. And obviously when we go and we travel internationally, when we see these guys, it's always great fun to have a bit of a go at each other on the range and can speak Afrikaans to the guys. I mean, funny enough, Gracie, one of our staff members, was fortunate to be traveling to the UK last week, and I phoned Gracie up to ask if he can get him tickets, and it was 10 minutes later, the guy sent me four tickets and said, off you go. This is, and the guy's got to experience what LIV Golf is about. So I think it's exciting that there's another option available. Let's see where it goes. But I think there's going to be a lot of good coming out of the merger between all the tours.
Well, we know that if there's only one tour left in the world, Rory McIlroy, and it's LIV Golf, Rory McIlroy will retire.
I'm not convinced.
I'm also not convinced.
This weekend in Scotland showed us that he's definitely trying to prove a point at the moment.
Yeah, 100%.
By being a, you know, taking the clubs and really performing at the moment. I think there's a little bit of, it's no doubt that the BJ Live merger, I think, was a bit of a spark for him too.
Yeah. Listen, we could probably talk for hours.
Yeah.
You no, know, I'm listening. You can, but
is it also clickbait?
Yeah.
Does he have a personal vendetta against Greg Norman, or I don't know? But
I think he was definitely caught off guard.
Maybe he's like an Adesanya who just says stuff to
get clicks,
and grow the game. We don't know.
Damn it! If it wasn't for this weekend's disappointing rugby match between all the golf and all the sport at the moment, South Africa is just an incredible space, and it always unites us incredibly. I mean, I saw from so many different cultures in South Africa. You know, Driekus and Cameron, which are both golfers, they created a buzz, and the moment that somebody went after them. A different nation went after them. How South Africa pulled together for that. I mean, that's exactly, you saw the videos that I shared with you. Mm. You know, everybody standing up. And just before the match, it wasn't that big of a buzz. There was a buzz, but I think everybody said he was not going to make it. And again, sorry that I'm deterring there a little bit, but it's just South African sport is such an incredible vehicle for us. And I wanted to just find out from you. I'm going to push you a little bit here, but there was a bit of a glitch that you guys had with the golf balls. Between yourself and my golf spy.
Yeah.
Just take me through that quickly.
So, yeah, sure. That was 2016, 2017, when they really started doing golf ball testing. And I think, again, it was not an ideal situation. And I think it was bad the way it was portrayed in the media. And again, media sometimes take things out of line, and
they do all the time.
Every golf ball was going to be bad from then, but I think what it showed us, and again, where Chip Roos stood up to the plate and said, yes, we've made a mistake, there was golf balls that was non-centrical, we've invested $50 million in new machinery in the US, we've rectified the situation. And the funny thing is, we actually had discussions internally, and we started doing the same with competitors' golf balls, and I'm not going to name them because that's not what it's about for us. But there was very few manufacturers' golf balls that was actually in line with what they were saying. But yes, it was a bit further out of line with Callaway. We've rectified that in the last 3-4 years. I mean, we've built a new ball plant in Massachusetts. We've invested massive money, and if you actually look at how they test the golf balls now, and again, for me, the nice thing is, if you look at the performance of the players using the golf ball, I mean, Schauffele won the Olympics, John Rahm won a couple of majors, we've had 29 odd wins this year, 95% of those players are playing the Callaway golf ball.
Yeah.
The golf ball right now is the best golf ball that is made out on the market, and I don't say that because I work for Callaway. I understand what goes into the making of a golf ball. And I think that almost like breaking point in the golf ball business was great for all the manufacturers, because I think everybody took
note
of what was happening, and you didn't want to be the next guy that golf ball got cut up and it was out of line. So I think for the consumer, it was a great thing. For us, it wasn't a great time to go through that, and we fielded so many questions. But again, I think if you admit that there was a mistake, might have been one or two loopholes in the quality control process, we've rectified that, and sitting here today, I'm very happy to say that our golf balls are phenomenal.
Just to interrupt on my golf spy, because I've got my view or perspective on my golf spy.
Yeah, me too.
Very good for the game of golf.
Yeah, but
What they do is good.
I'm not sure how independent they are.
Correct. But when you test something, okay, you need to test it in different ways. So, for example, I saw, I think it was a couple of months ago, what is the best high club head speed head, driver head?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, at what club head speed are you testing it? Because I think they were testing it at 110 miles an hour. Now, where's the 120 and 130 that a lot of South Africans hit it at?
Yeah.
Now, you get South Africans viewing my golf spy.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to mention the brand, but it was a max head. So a high launch, high spinning.
Yeah.
Now, when you add speed to a high launch, high spinning, what is it going to do? Spin more.
No.
So the minute I saw that, I was like, I'm not even going to watch or follow them anymore, because from my understanding, fitting golf clubs every day, unless you put a pole into that head,
yeah,
like a broomstick,
yeah,
then it might work. But yeah, I've got my own thing. Yeah, about
I think again that comes back to where
I completely agree with you. By the way,
people choose what they look and what they actually take serious. I think with consumers getting so educated and having access to the internet and things,
the reviews.
I mean, I think a lot of people look at those things, but people also understand when you're looking at, if you compare apples with apples, it's a different story. But when you're comparing apples with pears, it doesn't always match up so nicely. 100%. So, I mean, it's again, as they've got a great following around the world, and a lot of people do take them serious. But again, I think that's where you and me as the fitter makes the difference, when you actually explain to the consumer and you can actually show them the data on a TrackMan or a quad or whatever you use to fit with. The average consumer out there is a lot smarter than these companies would like to think people are.
100%.
I think it's great to have that, because as much as we got called out on a bad golf ball, it was probably time for us to upgrade, and we moved forward from there, and we don't ever want that to happen again. So
I think that was the point for me, Rian, is that one, the response that you guys gave in building the facility and saying, okay, how do we do this going forward? But I think that that was just a highlight on you. I think that was across the board, actually. The other part of it is the response that you guys give, the backup that you then do, but also when it comes to practicality, and I wanted to make a point of that, we mustn't always read into the things we see online.
100%.
Because people don't understand the financial monetary back end in the back, who they get sponsored by. You see it in launch monitors as well. Everybody, all the professionals are a particular launch monitor, but there's sponsorships in place. There's agreements in the back end. And for me, it comes down to go and get fitted, go and feel the ball, go and fit it. And most importantly, any big brand in this whole entire earth has always had a moment that they had to step up to the plate, and that goes across the board. So well done on doing that.
I'll tell you something for free. If the Callaway golf ball was really, really okay, the guys wouldn't use it on tour.
No ways.
They would not use it on tour. They will say, I don't want to play this golf ball because it's not going to make me money and it's not going to get my job done.
Correct.
If it was that bad. So are using it, I promise.
Well, and I mean, we've seen that in the last 4 or 5 years. Yeah. I mean, I can tell you now, in 2017, we might have had 5 guys on tour playing our golf ball.
Yeah.
I mean, out of our, if we call a number of 50 staff players week in and week out now, it's probably 35 bar guys using the golf ball.
Yeah.
So the shift has definitely happened. No doubt. I think, I mean, it's the same as I say this to consumers all the time as they play a particular golf ball. I said, have you tried this?
Yeah.
And people are so used to something that's familiar that a lot of times it's actually just reluctance to try it.
Yeah.
And once they actually try it, they realize that there is better options out there. So again, but I think that's where it comes in, is when you do custom fitting, is to do the whole custom fitting, including the golf ball, because every golf ball that's out there on tour might not be for every golfer that's playing. I mean, I think we're all, again, going back to, we want to play what the tour players are playing, but sometimes there is a better ball available for you to choose from, whichever brand you choose from. It doesn't have to be a specific brand, but when you go and do a fitting, take some time and actually go through golf balls, because it makes a big part of the game. I mean, people always say, oh, I need a driver. It's like, you don't use a driver every shot on the golf ball. The golf ball, you use every single shot.
12 times,
Same with putters. I mean,
golf ball, you use every single shot.
Yeah, and putters use double as much as you use a driver on a good day when you're having a good putting round. People just don't fit putters. It's just, it's mind-blowing. It's
mind-blowing. And for the cost perspective, when you want to spend 12 and a half grand round number on a driver, but you don't want to spend 7 or 8 grand on a putter that you use 3 times more.
Correct. But listen, we've run out of time. I wish this one sneaked past me a little bit, yeah. But just on the finishing side, I wanted to say, Rian and Arthur, thank you very much for your time here this morning, Rian. For such a big brand, Callaway, to sit here in front of us this morning, for us as a show. Honestly, the one thing that stands out for me when I listen to all the OEMs, what's so unique to South Africa is you carry your brand with so much passion, but you guys also engage with competitive brands. You know, this landscape is very unique. In America, I see a lot more, you know, you stay in your lane. But yeah, all the OEMs get together. It's a smaller market than in the States. Everybody knows each other. A lot of them have worked for each other. And also based on our distribution channels, a lot of the brands are very close-knit to each other. I think it's a very unique position. But what that does is it says to the consumers that, listen, they're all here to play. They're all here to make their mark. They all offer something very different and unique. But as an holistic brand, Callaway certainly stands out, that you offer the clubs, the drivers, the balls, the clothing, and you also the putters in Odyssey, but you also partner with the Travis Matthew. And your facilities as Top Golf, which is for me so awesome. You've got the professional, the golf players on this side, but then you've got this Top Golf facility that is just growing golf. I mean, imagine how many people that's brought into golf. You know, start off with you and your mates or family going for a bit of fun, and before you know it, that translates into membership, buying clubs, and becoming a part of the economy in golf. So thank you for the role that you play, Rian, and thank you for the passion in which you do it with, and thank you for the support that you also provide to the local market, because you guys are heavily involved in junior development in South Africa. You're involved in a lot of sponsorships. You're involved in supporting a phenomenal golf economy on course and in retail stores. So thank you very much for the role that you play. And also for the fitters that you, and I'm speaking now not on behalf of Arthur, but that you make your product accessible to us as amateurs. We really do appreciate that. Accessible and affordable.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for having us on the show. It's been really an eye-opener for me as well. It's the first time I've done something like this, and I hope we can do it again in the future. I mean, like Arthur said, as I can sit here and talk for hours, but I mean, just coming back to what you say about the golf industry in South Africa, is we have worked with a lot of people in the industry, and it's something that we always bring up when we go to these events, and a lot of the golf courses always want to have all the brands together. And when we're on the driving range, we are the biggest enemies in the world. We always try and one-up our friends at whatever brand it is. But afterwards, we can all sit around the table and have a drink together. And I think that's what makes the golf industry so special in South Africa, because like you say, I've never seen it anywhere in the world. When I go to overseas events, and you can definitely see the separation between the brands. You never talk to anybody else. But I think the South African market is just, we all understand that we're all part of the bigger industry in South Africa, and we all can play our role, and as long as we do it responsible and communicate. I mean, we talk to other manufacturers more often than people would think, but yeah, I mean, I think it's the open door policy that we have as South Africans, and again, like you say, it's for me, I'd rather interact with a consumer than get them to get upset and things like that. The easiest thing in the world is if there's a complaint, pick up the telephone and speak to people, and we can sort it out. It's really not the end of the world. If there's a broken golf club or something, we try our best to try and, within reason, I mean, we do get some chances, as Arthur would know, out there. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's just a privilege for us to have an opportunity to actually sit with you guys and engage and answer questions. And we might not always have all the answers, but if we don't have them, we'll investigate and we'll get you the answers. So, yeah, I really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Rian.
Yeah, and from my side, Rian, first of all, thanks for that beautiful golf bag. We're going to have to fight over that golf bag, to be honest. But
I don't know if I want to do it in the giveaway anymore.
No, I think it's going to be a great giveaway, and we really do appreciate the bag and for giving it to us. And then from a personal note, when I started True Fit and started fitting, he was my go-to person. I learned a lot from him because he knows a lot. So thank you for you, and thank you for your expertise to me personally. And yeah, thanks for your time. I know we're probably going to have you again on the show, definitely, because there's a lot to talk about. And yeah, let's finish off the year with a bang, eh?
So, Martha, I'm so happy
you said that. And the British Open.
Yeah, I'm so happy you say that. So this morning, if you are buying Callaway clubs, or you've got them already, you've got any other associated brands like the Odyssey putter, I mean, you can be very proud that you're in great hands with a great brand with innovation in their mind, but also that they support somebody like you, you know, in the beginning where they don't really know where you are. And I don't think people understand this. You know, everybody's kids, from a parent perspective, everybody's kids the best. And they're the next, they're Tiger the next Woods. Breakthrough, Tiger Woods. But from an OEM, it's challenging. You've got a lot of those opportunities in front of you. You have to be selective. You can't, you don't have unlimited budgets. So the support that you do, we appreciate so much. And Rian, I just want to reiterate lastly what Arthur said there about this bag. We are a very small show. We really are passionate about what we do here, and we're very exciting about the future. So thank you for everybody that's liking and subscribing to this and the engagement. In the last 2 months, it feels like the show is just stepping up to a different place in its time. So thank you very much. But this bag, Rian, for you to come on here to give us this type of value, and I'm sitting here, this is a 20,000 rand gift.
There's actually no number on it.
There's no number, because how do you say that? 1 out of 10 in Africa, 1 out of 10 in South Africa. What a phenomenal gift. Thank you that you open your heart like that, you know, because, and I will just say, finish on this, the charitable side of golf in South Africa is the most phenomenal thing. It doesn't matter what event you go to, they will raise money for somebody that's in need, somebody that needs it. It's an incredible thing about South African golfers and the industries. And again, like you say, always say to Rupert, thank you for his incredible support for the industry, for the movement that he supports in South Africa and where we are. Good luck to all the players this week and to the British Open. I will be stuck to the TV this weekend with all of that. But Rian, thanks again. We bless you and all the staff that's in Callaway here, all the sales this year and everything that you guys are doing. Thank you very much again for coming onto the show.
Perfect. It's our pleasure and really appreciate the time. So look forward to many more engagements with you guys.
Thanks, Rian. Thanks, Arthi.
Special shout out to Callaway this morning and Rian Spannenberg and his team to say, here's a bag for your viewers. Here's a bag to give away. Arthi, what do you need to do to get the show going?
So, ladies and gentlemen, it's pretty simple. Head to YouTube, subscribe to our channel. Head over to Instagram, follow us on Instagram. Tag 3 friends on our post and then go follow Callaway Golf SA. And by the weekend, before the results is finished for the Open, we will have a winner for the bag.
So somebody in South Africa is going to have very special bragging rights with this bag. Right?
Correct. And that obviously will be delivered to the winner. We'll get their address and contact them personally, and we'll hand deliver it to them.